I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the 22nd chapter of Genesis. Last year, this time of the year, I was in the middle of a series of messages titled Characteristics of Grace. And I stuck with that series instead of veering off, as most do in this time of year. And this year I started thinking about what it was the Lord would lead me to preach this morning. You just never know who God's going to bring through these doors to hear His word preached. Many come this time of year to hear about a baby in a manger. I was asked about my way of celebration this time of year. I was in a discussion with the men of the fire department. He said, "You want a tree, Pastor Reeves?" I said, "No, thank you." Not for any religious reasons. Folks, I got nothing against anybody having a tree. I've got nothing against putting lights up. You know, those lights are pretty. I've always enjoyed driving around and seeing the lights, the people in the neighborhoods. You can go real slow down through there. I used to be a limousine driver, and one of my favorite times of the year was to go down into old Sacramento, the 40s is what they call it, the street numbers and stuff, and they're old, high-pitched homes, and they were all built back in the 1940s, and boy, those folks, they just light up their houses down there in such a beautiful way. It is a very beautiful thing. Very pretty, very pleasing to the eye. And I shared with Thomas over there, I said, you know, it has nothing to do. I don't set up a tree because my children are all grown. I don't have any little ones anymore that can really enjoy the unwrapping of the presents. You know, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to watch the little ones unwrap a present? I can remember when my kids were little, their favorite things to open was just a box. They didn't care what was in it. Whatever was in it always got tossed off to the side, and they would play with that box for hours and hours. It's a wonderful time of year to spend with our family. And to the credit of most, they do spend a little time speaking about this one who's in a manger and what he came here for. But for the most part, that's kind of where they stop. And I've been to several that go on to declare who the baby Jesus is, why he came here. So I don't want to discredit all. But before I came here and heard the truth, all I ever heard was, "It's your decision." All I've ever heard was, "This is what the baby Jesus came here for. This is what he did. This is where he is now. And now it's up to you to decide whether to believe that. It's up to you to give the gift to God of your belief. It's up to you to make a decision to come down to the front and accept Christ into your heart." Many of today take this opportunity, this important event, and they make it a time to satisfy their desires rather than a time for what this true event truly stands for. Nowhere in Scripture, do we see clearly the time of this blessed event. People think that because the season was this or the season was that. You know, times 2,000 some odd years ago, seasons were different than what they are today. For the most part, harvest time was the same and that kind of stuff. But Scripture doesn't come down and be very clear about it. It's kind of like the end times. And we all know what happens to people who try to predict the end times, don't we? We've seen several do that over the last few years and not a single one has been right. Nowhere in Scripture do we clearly see the time of this blessed event, nor do we read of instructions on how to remember it. Our Lord gives clear instructions on how to remember His death, though, doesn't He? We're clearly taught of what we're to do in remembrance of our Savior. In the letter to the Corinthians, our Lord inspired Paul to declare the events at the Last Supper our great God had with his disciples before he was taken by wicked hands and crucified on that cruel cross. He said this in 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Is that pretty clear? We don't see anything like that in regards to God's birth. After the same manner, it says in verse 25, "He also took of the cup, and when he had supped, saying, 'This is the cup. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come.'" Isn't that interesting? Mankind have come up with this big celebration for our Lord coming into this world, and it is a celebration we should celebrate. But they've taken the truth of what happened and they've made it something of their own desire. That's what all the glittering is. That's what all the pretty lights are. Notice the forthcoming, the plainness. He says, "Do this in remembrance of my death." You can't get any clearer than that, can we? Our Lord came to do his Father's will and nothing short of it. He had a purpose in humbling himself and being made in the likeness of flesh. Folks, there's only one way. One way that men can be reconciled unto God, and that is by the perfect holy blood that was shed upon that cross just over 2,000 years ago. The Lord Jesus, 100% God and 100% man. He is the way, the truth, and no man cometh unto him but by the Father. Ever since the fall of Adam, men have been told a sacrifice must be made. Blood must be shed. Atonement must be made. There is no remission of sin without blood. But not just any blood will do. The blood of the perfect Lamb is the only blood God will accept in satisfying his justice. Everything else is no more than a picture. A picture of that holy, blameless, spotless Lamb of God. The birth of Christ, the Christ child, was significant. It was a significant event indeed. For he was of the Holy Ghost, not of men. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 26 through 32, we read, "And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, 'Hail, thou that art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women.' And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, 'Fear not. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there shall be no end.' And then Mary said unto the angel, 'How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?' And the angel answered and said unto her, 'The Holy Ghost shall come upon her, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.'" The holy, perfect nature of God ran through the veins of this child. Perfect in every way. He who knew no sin, yet he came to us as a servant. He came to serve his people, to commit himself for the people of God, chosen from the foundation of the world. He came to be our kinsman redeemer, to make peace between all for whom the Father had given him. This child was the only one who could do this. No man of Adam's loins could ever satisfy the justice of God. From the blood of Adam flows the nature of sin, spiritual death, and you cannot mix the two natures. Are you with me in Genesis? Read along with me as we read verses 1 through verse 22, or through verse 8 of chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. This is the one God promised. He said, This is the one that you and your wife shall have. And the seed of God shall come from this one. It was a promise made to Abraham. Take this one, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering. And he rose up and he went unto the place of which God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. God will provide himself a sacrifice. God the Father promised a people to God the Son. God the Son redeemed this people with his own precious blood. And God the Spirit is going about this very moment revealing the Son to the promised through the preaching of his word. A covenant, a pact, a promise was made between the great three in one. Three distinct persons, yes, yet one God. A mystery, yes, but so it is nonetheless one God. Turn to the 9th chapter of Isaiah, if you would. There have always been three in heaven. God has always been three in one. In the first chapter of, chapter of Genesis, verse 26, and it says, And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. It's plural. Yet we also read in the New Testament, I and my Father are one. One who sees this Christ child for who he truly is has seen the face of God. For in this person, this God-man, this God-child dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, is what Scripture tells us. You must worship the Son in spirit and in truth. If not, then you do not worship the Father. Look at verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah chapter 9, if you would. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever and ever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord Jesus Christ is ruler over all things. He has been from eternity past. The difference now is that he's in the flesh on his throne. There is a God-man right now, this very moment, sitting on his throne in heaven, working everything out according to his own counsel. Thus saith the Lord. You see, God provided himself a sacrifice for the sins of his people. But all the world sees is this precious child, innocent and loving and pretty and appealing to the heart. They are blinded to the truth. They are blinded to his purpose. They are blinded as to why he came. Why do they relish such in a child in a manger? Because the world does not want a God who rules over everything, including the will of men. We come into this world with a will, a nature that is against God. Every one of us were born into that very nature. We refuse by our nature the true and living God. We will not have this man rule over us, is what they cried. And that's exactly what you and I cried at one time. Turn over to the book of John for a moment. We will not have this one, this child, this God-man to rule over us. Are you with me in the book of John? Chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In verse 14 we read, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But let's continue on in verse 4, shall we? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Did you catch that? The darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent of God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which lighteth every man and cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's my title for this morning. This morning's message. The world knew him not. Neither did we. Not until the Lord, by his mercy and grace, brought each and every one of us under the preaching of his gospel to hear who this child, why he came into this world, to hear about why he came, what he did when he got here, what he accomplished by becoming flesh. And what he's doing right now. All mankind are born dead spiritually. When Adam sinned, the whole world died with him. Spiritually, that is. Men began to consider themselves as gods. That's why they call it my will. My free will. My decision. I followed the Lord. My, you go to these other churches and that's what you hear when you go to them. I began to follow that little baby. I went to the front of the pulpit, the front of the church, and prayed with a man. Now I follow the Lord. Our Lord gives us an example of that very thing in Scripture. We hear about where the people cried out, "What must I do to be saved? What can I do to be saved?" That's the nature of men. What can I do? There's got to be something. In Matthew 19, verse 24, we read this, "And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Well, then who can be saved? If men can't do it, if there's nothing for them to do, then how can men be saved?" And our Lord answers it with this: "With men, this is impossible." But with God, all things are possible. Folks, it is God that showeth mercy, and He is merciful to whom He will be merciful to. He is the potter, we are the clay. He does what seems good to Him. Some are created to be vessels of mercy, this is Scripture, and others are fitted for destruction. The world doesn't like to hear that. What do you mean? What do you mean I'm fitted for destruction? Could you imagine if somebody would have told Pharaoh that? Did you know that Pharaoh was raised up? The most powerful man in the world, the richest man in the world, for one purpose: that God might show His strength through the destruction of Pharaoh and his men in Egypt, delivering His people out of bondage. This is why those who have been given life, those who were chosen before the foundation of the world, for God to show His mercy to, we see this child for who he is. Look over to Luke chapter 2, please. All throughout the New Testament, Christ went about healing the blind, raising the dead, healing the lame, pictures of what He came to accomplish by providing Himself a sacrifice for the sins of His people. We who were dead in our sins, by the mercy of God, have been given life. Born again is what it says. You must be born again. Not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. Obviously, we're not going to climb back into our mother's womb. But if God wanted it that way, we could obviously do it, couldn't we? All things are possible through God. Are they not? Did not the walls of the water stand straight up and the ground become dry for Israel? All things are possible by God, are they not? We are born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit, and we see with God given faith the Lord our God in the face of His Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. We see God Almighty in that child. But we see the reason He came. He, the Spirit, came to us when we were but dead, spiritually dead, and through the preaching of His Word, He gave us life that we could come to Him. And we see that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, He says. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." We hear the Word of God, for what is it to Him? Boy, I missed out something there, didn't I? We see Him for who He is. Sovereign ruler over all that is, creator of all things, king of all kings, the one who is rightfully called God. One of the most prominent things that I have heard in these last 20 years is this: I've heard about a God who deserves to be called God. The first thing our Lord laid on my heart strongly was, is this is a God who deserves to be called God, who has the right to be called God. For everything He does is godly. It's sovereign. ruler in everything, including the calling of men out of darkness. He's sovereign ruler over all that is. We see Him for what He's done. We see this child for the reason He came into this world, and that was to save His people. Plain and simple. A beautiful child, yes. But there's an ending to that. That child must grow up and become the sacrifice that God will provide for His people, the very one that Abraham was talking about. God will provide Himself a sacrifice. The blood that was shed on that cross was the blood of God, and it accomplished exactly what it was shed for. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. Our Lord said, "It is finished." There is nothing for us to do, nothing we can do, for we have no righteousness in ourselves. There is only one righteousness, and that is the righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. The holy man to walk this earth, He who knew no sin, He was made to be sin that we would be made righteous in Him. We see Him for what He's doing and what He shall do. He's sitting on His throne right now, the throne of glory, and He will not share it with another. Do not try to take the Lord's glory by adding something you have done to salvation. Salvation is of the Lord alone. We see this child for what He is now, ruling over all things, ruling over all providence, making all things according to His desire. The world speaks of a child in a manger. Have you seen this child for who He is? Have you seen this child for what He would do? Have you seen this child for what He accomplished? Have you seen this man for what He is doing right now? He's not a man and a child in a manger anymore. He's sitting on His throne right now, ruling everything. The government shall be on His shoulder. And because He is God, everything His desire shall come to pass. And our Lord desires every single one for whom He shed His blood for on that cross. Perfectly, without fail. Are you with me in Luke? Chapter 2, verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now lettest thy servant depart from in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel.'" Do you see your salvation? "Then praise our Lord, for He came into this world, and the world knew Him not." And you and I were in that very same boat at one time. And I don't know about you, but when I think of that boat that I was in, that darkness that I walked in, I see the grace of my Savior, His love to me, magnified in a way that just makes my heart explode with love for Him. when we see the truth of who this baby Jesus was and what he did, can we not love the one who first loved us? Do we see our salvation in this child? Then praise our Lord, for he came into this world and the world knew him not. But through his mercy, through his grace, we can read this in Romans 9:16. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Do you see the child in the manger in truth? Folks, if you do, then you are no longer of this world. Turn over to John chapter 17. And I'll bring this to a close. You see this child and what he has become and where he went and what he did for your sakes. This prayer is for you. These words spake Jesus in verse 1 and lifted up his eyes to heaven and he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them by thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How many messages across this country today we'll stop a moment and consider those very words we just read. The glory of God is seen in the face of that child, but he's no longer a child. He's the ruler of everything. Glory be to the King, my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand with me.